Hello, everybody. Welcome to God Quest. I'm your host, Miles Young, and I am here with missionary Stephen Jones. In fact, we're coming from your office in Roatan, Honduras, from the community known as Sandy Bay. Sandy Bay. So welcome to God Quest.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Not your first time. You were recently on one of our interviews while you happen to be in the United States. Now I have the privilege of being in your spot.
Yeah.
And behind us, you may hear some occasional noise. There is so much going on this island. Last night we had church on the west end of the island, and then in Oak Ridge. We had young people everywhere, and right now there's stuff going on behind me and new stuff developing. So I want to give you some updates. We want to hear from missionary Stephen Jones. The last time we were talking about kind of revival in general. Let's talk about what God is doing specifically on the island. We want some updates, but what God is doing on the mainland. Yeah. And man, we got a big construction project going on just next door. So here's Stephen Jones. If you have not met Stephen Jones, an incredible young man, he and his family are doing I don't even know how to describe it. It's just, I'm overwhelmed. I'm not whelmed. I'm overwhelmed by what's going on. So, Pastor Jones, it's good to have you here.
Yeah.
So, give us a little bit. We are sitting in your church, which is in Sandy Bay.
Yeah.
Give a brief description about Roatan. How many people are here? What does this look like? How long have you been here? Just kind of give the background.
Yeah. You know, It's debatable, but they say there's between 150 and 200,000 people on the island. And you arrived in 2011. We arrived for the first time in 2012. And we've seen exponential growth, infrastructure growth, population growth, opportunities have presented themselves. And so we purchased this piece of property in 2017.
Okay.
April
2017. I was wondering when you purchased this.
And so we started construction immediately. And so everything you see has been built since April of 2017. We've done a lot. We've maximized this piece of property, I think. And we're looking at future expansion.
Okay, so the auditorium presently seats on the bottom floor roughly 150, 160, something
like
that.
Yeah, 175 people on the bottom floor.
175, and then on the back, you have a balcony.
75.
So, air conditioned, carpeted, I mean, technology. I mean, this place is incredible. And it has become a light to this island.
Yeah.
When I first came and began to do ministry here, and through the years, thank God for the many connections that God has made here through the years, one of the things that we constantly ran into was, well, you're just like everybody else. You're going to be here and then gone.
Yeah.
When this building was built, it made a difference.
Well, it galvanized our presence on the island. They knew these people are serious about the kingdom of God. We are the only missionary group on the island that owns their own church building.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah, and it's the largest sanctuary on the island.
Wow.
It's the only carpeted church on the island. There's other air-conditioned churches, but in terms of just beauty and technology and putting our best foot forward and presenting an excellent church for the community, I feel like, and I'm very, very thankful and satisfied with what we've done.
So, you have not only built a church building.
Yeah.
I was here in the early days of this facility. You actually built a coffee shop / meeting space.
Yeah.
That did dual duty.
Well, we did church in it first.
Yeah. Okay.
While we were finishing the sanctuary, we turned what would eventually become the coffee shop into our sanctuary.
Okay, so it was a church at first, and then
we transitioned down below. Yeah.
So now you have the coffee shop, you have the 200 plus seat auditorium, then you've built a kitchen, which is awesome. If you know anything about Hispanic or Latin American culture, they love to eat in fellowship.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he leaned into that.
I just came from the kitchen, and Sister Andrea Ryder is making biscuits and gravy in that kitchen right now.
He's in there preaching. We're in here working. His wife's in the kitchen leading a team, and they're fixing biscuits and gravy for Hope Corps.
So,
there's a lot going on. It has been, we've been here for 6 days nonstop, early in the morning to late at night. And so that's, we're in the office. So you've got a commercial kitchen, dining hall, and I've had the privilege of being here during one of your midweek services where they have incredible Bible study, worship, and the sanctuary. Then people go gather.
Feed everyone.
What role does that play? I think Caleb Adams would call it table fellowship.
It was the best decision we'd ever made, is we make every Wednesday night Bible study and food. And so I've been criticized by people in my own church here for wasting God's money feeding people that are not interested in our message. And I told them, I said, first of all, this isn't our money. This is God's money. And secondly, I don't care why people come to my church. If they come for chili or spaghetti or hot dogs or a pastry, that's not important. They have to sit through an hour-long Bible study on apostolic doctrine before they ever get any food. And so I just made up my mind, God will pay for the food as long as I continue to provide and preach.
So I think that issue came up with Jesus. They called him the loaves and fishes crowd.
Yeah.
So, but they saw some miracles, they heard some teaching, and they had some meals that God prepared in miraculous ways.
That's right.
So things are happening. Now, just across the street, there is an incredible new facility being built. Tell us about what that is. A couple of different levels there, parking underneath.
Yeah. Well, when we finished the commercial kitchen in the back, we built two-bedroom apartments above it where interns can come and spend a summer working with us. They're both occupied right now. And above the coffee shop, my wife and I built an apartment where we have lived for the last number of years. We've maximized this space. And so parking is a nightmare on Sundays. We're looking at what are we going to do? And so we decided that the opportunity was presented to us. We purchased the adjacent property across from our headquarters church where we only intended on building a parking lot, but then God just kind of kept pushing us to expand our vision. And so we began construction on what will be the very first apostolic medical facility in the country of Honduras.
Okay. So if I get this right, on parking underneath, I think I'm parked out there right now, that's already completed. Now you're working on the second level and third level. That second level, there's going to be a barbershop.
Barbershop in the corner.
Okay.
I have some young men in my church that are passionate about barbering. And so I told them I'd build them a space for them to be self-employed.
Okay, time out. Let me interrupt. That's one of the things I love about Brother Jones. He comes from a background of business. His father was owned his own business, very successful painting company in Sacramento. After graduating from high school, getting in college, Brother Stephen Jones went to work in the political world, working at the state capitol under Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. You actually worked in his office there, part of that political team. He took what he had learned from his father, took what he learned in that corporate environment, mixed in the kingdom and principles of the kingdom. He came here, and now what I'm watching happen is you are providing opportunities for men and women in your church, young men, in a world. This is a world of unemployment.
Yeah.
This is a third world country. This is an island that has very big challenges.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's not a lot of opportunities on the island. There's not a lot of opportunities. Unemployment is through the roof. But through the kingdom of God, you've been able to take those, leverage those, create opportunities. How many people do you think are being employed through the different avenues connected to the church?
19 people in my church are full-time employed through the church or businesses the church is facilitating.
So this is a new approach. This is a new approach that he is seeing. So when you see a barbershop being built, that's a whole other new opportunity.
Yeah.
And then next to it, one of the things I'm really excited about is you're building a clinic.
Yeah.
Do I understand there is not one x-ray machine on this island?
Not a working x-ray machine.
Okay.
They're there, but they're inoperable.
So this island has, I'm not belittling anyway. There are some significant challenges to doing ministry in this environment, and you see that poverty is a lot more than just not having money.
Yeah.
It sometimes is about having access to loans to get money.
Yeah.
And credit is an issue here, right? And so then you've got the medical issues, and you've got equipment that's broke down in clinics.
Yeah.
And so his dream is to create a medical clinic? You have a doctor in your church that has come to God?
Yeah, I feel at times I'm in way over my head. I am by no means this business guru, but I feel like God gives you grace for the things that he puts in your spirit. And we want a doctor in our church, a general practitioner. And she came to me and she said, Pastor, I really want to open the very first apostolic hospital. And again, I said, well, I'll build it if you run it. And so we linked up. And then we said, well, what are we going to do? An urgent care? Is it just going to be general medicine? And then we had a number of cases in our church where people were diagnosed with cancer.
Okay.
And the only place to go get treatment for cancer, chemotherapy or radiation, is on the mainland.
Okay.
It's very expensive.
For anybody.
For anybody.
Okay.
Travel expenses. You're either taking a bus for multiple hours to get there.
After you took a ferry.
Well, after your body is just wrecked with cancer, and you're sitting on a bus for 14 hours. That's the last thing you need to be doing. And so I just felt like God impressed upon me to establish the very first chemotherapy radiation treatment center.
Okay, so
here on the island.
There's going, that's
a concentration.
Okay, so that's a concentration that you're looking for. Let me just kind of interrupt. If you're in the medical field or this touches your heart, this is a real opportunity for you to even take this to your secular employers. That touches people's heart. Doctors Without Borders is proof of that. People really want to make a difference. Maybe you're involved in the medical field. You'd be willing to donate your time when this clinic gets ready. Talk to your pastor. Get involved. Or maybe you've got information that Brother Jones and Sister Jones would need, how you could connect with the doctor in their church. This could have some very big impact in the community.
Yeah. No, and word is starting to spread that not only is the Apostolic Church on the corner there in Sandy Bay a premier church with great music and great kids programs, great facilities, but they have extended their reach into the community to not just impact people's hearts and eternities, but we want to see the grace of God and the people of God touch people's physical bodies. And I think working together with doctors in a number of churches in the States, partnering with them, I think this is going to have a legacy that's going to impact generations.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, this is a long game.
Yeah.
Okay. If we've been guilty of anything, and I don't mean to speak disparaging because I love the apostolic movement, but sometimes we've been guilty of playing the short game. We're so experiential that we want it now. We want God to perform the miracle. Well, some things he wants us to walk out.
Yeah.
He wants us to live out. And if we had prepared 25 years ago on some things, where would we be?
Yeah.
And I don't want to just throw off on the past. I want to accept the responsibility now. What can we do today that if the Lord tarries 20 years from now, there's going to be a legacy? And so this is an example of, you know, you say, well, why a coffee shop? Why a barber shop? There's young men and women learning skills.
Yeah.
They're learning a second language. They're learning how to manage money.
Yeah.
And these are things that in a third world country come, they don't come easy.
Yeah.
They don't get the opportunity. School, I was told at one time, 30%, only 30% of the children that are school age on this island
actually go to school. Yeah, that's right.
So here you're training young people that in any other circumstance would have not had that opportunity. Yeah. And they are now in the kingdom of God and redemptive lift, and the community is looking at those young people and going, man, how do I get my family in that realm?
Yeah, what I have learned from you and the culture of where we come from is that oftentimes you have to help people become, and it may cost you.
Yeah.
And you may have delayed results from that. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is I put 11 Hope Corps students or kids in my church through Hope Corps last year, and I raised the money to do it. It was $25,000. And then this year, I've got two students that are in Hope Corps right now graduating. Two didn't complete the courses, but you know, that's money that we've had to spend to invest in young people. Well, people may say, well, that's a lot of money for right now. Well, what's gonna happen is those 11 last year and these two this year, they're becoming my church leaders.
Yeah.
They're becoming my business owners and my managers. And it'll pay dividends for decades.
They're learning things they would never get
in. They never get in a secular environment. And it's a short-term investment for a long-term benefit.
And they are radically
transformed
and radically different than even the neighborhood or the community or even the family they're from. And that's a shout out to you that are in the United States, Canada, or wherever, that donated and gave to that and have supported. Yeah. You're not just building buildings, you're transforming lives.
Right.
And none of that would happen, obviously, without the work of the kingdom and the work of the Spirit in this island. But none of that would happen without you and Rachel Jones and your family. And I just want to say thank you for your vision. I've had the benefit this week of being in the church, being in the coffee shop, seeing what God has done, looking at the building and training center with Hope Corps that you finished, and the extreme leadership. I've walked into the biggest department and hardware store on the island that is next level. And when you walk through it to the back, there's Cafe 314, and secular people are coming in. There's apostolic young people running that with gospel music playing. And everybody knows that's the apostolics.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the Apostolic Pentecostals. So I want to say thank you for your vision and thank you for your passion. And I'm going to say thank you to all of you that it's Hope Corps Week. I'm repping my Hope Corps shirt right now. I've been here with 60 young people. And when you rub shoulders with young people that are on fire for God, it ignites something in you. And I'm 55 years old, but I'm ready to take hell with a water pistol right now because I've been hanging out with the Joneses and these young people in Roatan. So this is a great season. This is God Quest. There is something that God is calling you to do in your church, with your pastor, with whatever God's doing. I challenge you, facilitate what God is doing in your church. Get with your pastor and find out how to plug in. If you're a man of God, there's so many opportunities. Plug in with this man. There's crazy things that are happening. And it all comes down to support. It comes down to energy. It comes down to people and a way to make it happen. I hear them shouting out there.
Yeah,
so I'm going to end this God Quest because I want to get out there and see what's happening. Brother Ryder is evidently bringing the heat. Amen. This is God Quest. I look forward to seeing you next time on God Quest. God bless. We'll be right back.